And so I'm going to invite you to stand this morning, and I want us to say together the scripture that talks about the one coming who will bring us peace without end. Everybody online as well, would you make this a sacred moment? This isn't just some quote from somebody. This is God's word that meant to give us life and to fill us. Would you say it out loud with me as we keep a heart of worship to our great God? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Let's pray. Lord, we need a peace that doesn't fail us. And Lord, that's only from you. You made us. You made us to look to one who is greater than us for peace. We were built to have a relationship with you. And when we don't, we settle for other people bringing us peace. But the truth is only you can bring it. So we just pray right now that you would open up our minds and give our minds rest and our hearts strength to hear the good news of what Christmas really is all about. The birth of a king, a prince of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So if there's ever a year where we could relate to the Christmas story, it's this year. Because Christmas is about longing for one person who will finally come and bring peace to everybody. We've just been through crazy elections. We've been through all sorts, the pandemic, and who's got the answer and when will they come? That's the feeling of the people when Christmas came. They were looking for someone to do what no one had done before. And really, every Christmas, we know that it's a challenging time for a lot of people. We always sing it's the most wonderful time of the year, but to be honest, it's the hardest time of the year for lots of people. It can be when they are discouraged the most or just feeling the saddest. And so we want to recognize that the real story of Christmas is actually what can change all that. That there is a Prince of Peace that comes, that was born to take away all that wants to conquer us or overwhelm us. So the world looks to Christmas as, oh, this will make us feel better, behold, there's hope. But the truth is, we've got to get down to the real Christmas story. All right? All of the world's way of celebrating Christmas are not going to give us a peace that never ends. We've got to know the real story. And contrary to all the Christmas songs out there and all the Christmas spirit that's out there, you know, the great philosophers of Mariah Carey, Justin Bieber, and Frank Sinatra, who fill the top 10 Spotify list of Christmas songs, you know, they're really not going to help us. Even all kind of what songs we sing, even in church at Christmas, some of them really aren't too accurate about what the real Christmas story is about. Let me give you an example, all right? If I talk about three kings and I talk about Christmas, what song are you thinking of? What's the song? We Three Kings, right? Now, and who are the three kings we're referring to in the Bible story? Who is it? The wise men, right? The wise guys, right? All right. Well, that's actually not accurate at all, okay? First of all, we don't actually know that there were three wise men. We just know that there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It doesn't actually say how many wise men there are. We get the tradition of three because of the three gifts. And by the way, they weren't kings, all right? They were kind of a secular pagan magician, royal court advisors is who they were. You would never want them to teach your kids anything. That would be a huge mistake. All right? They weren't even kings. They were just kind of royal advisors who were astrologers and saw what the stars were doing. They weren't kings at all. So here they are. There weren't three of them. They weren't kings. And there's no way you really want anything, your kids to learn anything about Christmas from them other than they recognize the one that was. Now, here's the irony. There actually were three kings in the Christmas story. They're just not the wise men. But what we want to do is we want to actually look at them today, because there are three kings in the Christmas story. And the interesting thing is those three kings offer us three different versions of peace. Each one of them has a power in this world that you can say yes to, and an attitude about how to live life. But if you follow them, they're not the same as the one king who came at Christmas, who can give you peace without end. So this picture is not what we're looking for. This is really not what Christmas is about. Christmas is not just about the presents we give. It's actually about heaven presenting the one true king that the entire world should give themselves to. That's what Christmas actually is. And he's a king who can deliver on his promises. This is who he is. And so we want to see this, because we kind of, oh, it's just joy and this. It's like, no, Christmas in history was the time that heaven said, here's the king everybody needs. Look, in Luke chapter 1, when the angel comes to Mary, this is what the angel says. Mary, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God, notice all the king language. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, his ancestor, King David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom and his peace will what? Never end. This is actually about a king that was born. That's what Christmas is actually at. It's the announcement, here's the king. Now, the world doesn't think about that at all, but it actually, the world often refers to Jesus as king, not usually in the right way, because the word Christ is actually the word king. It's the anointed one. Christ in Greek, or Messiah in Hebrew, means the anointed one of heaven, that the great God of the universe chose and anointed Jesus to be the king over everybody. So when you say Jesus Christ, you're not referring to his last name. You're saying he's the king. Jesus Christ, Jesus the king. And it's important to recognize that when we hear the angels tell the shepherds a savior is born, this is good news, we need to remember what kind of savior he is. He's a king. Notice Luke chapter 2 here, verses 10 and 11, hear the angels announcing to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. We're going to talk about this word good news, the gospel, and what it meant to people in the day they heard it. We're going to do that next week. Good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. He's of the kingly line. He's got kingly blood in him from the earth standpoint. He's a savior who is the king, who's the Lord. That's who you follow. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Christmas Sunday, we're going to talk about how does the king of the universe, why is this so important? That's where he was born. And then we get the news, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased, that king. Such an incredible gift. Now, this is what Luke is saying. This is the Gospel of Luke, the announcement, the royal announcement of Jesus. And it's not just Christmas, but it's actually the entire book of Luke. Luke is always trying to tell you, here's the king. I just want to give you a quick view of it. I mean, obviously, there's a royal announcement from angels. Here's the king. In Luke chapter 3, you get the genealogy of Jesus that goes through who? King David. Here's a king. He's in the line of them. You get the royal herald, which is John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 4, when Satan is tempting Jesus, what does Satan offer Jesus? All the kingdoms of this world. Why? Because Satan knows this is a king and he needs a kingdom. Here you go. Take this. Take a substitute. In his Sermon on the Mount in Luke 6 is the manifesto of the kingdom. This is how my kingdom works. This is what's so important. His miracles, like in Luke 11, those are his royal credentials. Wow, he really is king over everything, right? The parables of that Jesus say in Luke 8, he refers to them as secrets of the kingdom because he's telling you how his kingdom works. In Luke 19, he makes a royal entrance into the capital of God on Palm Sunday. And in Luke 23, when he is finally given an official sentence worthy of death, what's the sentence? King of the Jews. Everything in Luke is like, here's the king. And if I may switch gospels for a moment, it's interesting because in that final meeting of earthly power and Jesus before the cross, when he's in front of Pilate, in Luke 18, here's the conversation. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason, Christmas. And for this, I came into the world." He's a king. That's the good news. There's a king that's finally come that can bring us peace. But here's the bad news. There's already two other kings in the story. I want you to see them. Here's the first one. In those days, Luke chapter 2, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. See, this king comes and there's this great king over the entire Western world called Caesar Augustus. And Caesar Augustus is no slouch. He's the first and greatest emperor of the Roman Empire. Before him, it was a republic. He is adopted by Julius Caesar, and when he is 18 years old, studying in Greece, Julius Caesar is murdered, and all of a sudden there's a civil war for the throne, and Augustus decides, I'm going to lay claim to it, and he fights a war with some people you may have heard of, like Cleopatra and Antony, right? And finally in 31 A.D., he wins through all his work, through all his battles, through all his fight, through all his attack. He wins the throne, and he becomes the one who ushers in this thing called Pax Romana, this idea of Roman peace. And literally, in history, this is a time that the world had never known such stability and organization that it could actually prosper. So in a lot of ways, this was known as peace for a lot of people. And really, what Caesar Augustus represents to us is peace through worldly power, peace through hard work and attacking the problem and making sure you get there. That's him. There's only one problem with that version of peace. You see, the Roman world at that time, over half its population were slaves. So in other words, this really wasn't good news for all people. This was good news and peace for people who happened to be Roman or happened to be like him. See, that peace came at the expense of oppressing others and being prejudiced against other ethnic groups or where you were born. Literally, Forbes magazine did a 10 richest people in all of history based on what they had control over, number 4. And the only people richer than him were Genghis Khan and two other guys in Asia who happened to have some incredible dynasties. This guy had it all. It's actually a story of him bequeathing an entire country as slaves to one of his friends. As we hear that music. Where's that music come from? All right. So, this isn't peace that will actually last. This is not peace. This is not good news and peace for all people. This is for peace for people like him. And it's built on oppressing others. And it's really this idea that I can have peace by getting what I want. And once I have that, then I've got it. The problem is it doesn't last because oppressed people tend not to cooperate. And the way this goes is my peace is dependent on you being oppressed. And that somehow always breaks down. So that's the first king that, and he's the reason why Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem. It's because of his decree. So he's influencing this story. He's there. He's the first king. The second king we know a lot more about in the Gospel of Matthew. It's King Herod, the king of Judah. Here's Luke chapter 1. this king is in the story of Christmas. Now, he is known as Herod the Great. He's known as Herod the Great, and the reason he's got the name Great is because he built all these incredible fortresses, and he built the temple for the Jewish people. The story is he rules the Jews for Rome. Rome knows him as the king of the Jews, but none of the actual Jewish people want to call him that. All right? This guy is a sellout and a survivor. He's half Jewish, and he's a schemer. And when Rome came to suffer, when Julius Caesar was killed and there was a civil war, Herod actually sided with Cleopatra and Antony. That's why if you go to Jerusalem and you go to the temple and you hear about Antonio's fortress right next door, that's after Antony. That was his friend, right? But what happened was when Cleopatra and Antony got defeated, he quick switched sides and actually convinced Augustus that he was his friend. And Augustus then said, okay, you rule over Judea for me. So this guy, man, he was a sellout. He was a survivor. And it was really interesting. One of the ways he ruled over the people was he would do things religiously for them. He would build the temple. He would honor the holy days. He would do ceremonial things. But his life was like not even close to anything God-honoring. He had all these wives. He killed, what is it? He killed two of them because he was worried about them taking the throne. Killed three of his sons, a mother-in-law to boot. I mean, he kind of got a little bit of everybody because he was all about, I'm going to compromise and control until it all works the way I want. And what's interesting about him is he tried to make the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world work together to bring peace. And it just never did. It never worked. And what happened was, not only did he not bring peace to the region, there was always revolts and always problems, but he actually never had peace himself. Never, ever. I mean, he murdered his wives because he was so paranoid and controlling and tried to make it all work while he was trying to bring a little bit of God and religion and a lot of this world together so he could have what he wanted. And he never, ever had peace. He was called Herod the Great because all he built. But what do we hear in the Gospel of Matthew? He destroys and slaughters all of the boys under 2 years old because he's furious that there's someone else threatening his power and control. Jesus always threatens your power and control, right? And you've got a choice. You're going to be like King Herod, or you're going to be like the wise men who want to worship him. That's always who he is. And so in the middle of these two kings come this: fear not. Boy, if you were living under King Herod, you had plenty to be afraid of. You never knew what was going to happen. Fear not, for behold, I bring you royal good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Someone's going to save you from all this. And he's the King. He's the King of heaven. And he's supposed to be your Lord. And he can bring peace for people who follow after him, who please him. So it's interesting because for us, Christmas is kind of this, you know, kind of emotional, oh, isn't that wonderful? But really, Christmas is a confrontation. Christmas, what their story was this was a showdown between three kings. And it was a choice. Who are you going to follow? You're going to follow this guy? You're going to follow this guy? Or are you going to think, this one has the power to bring you peace? That's Christmas. And let me tell you this right now. We're going to say it a lot during these next few weeks. Your prince determines your peace. Your prince determines your peace. You've only got so much. The peace you've got is because of the prince you're following, the king you're following. Now, in this, there's this. It's not just a confrontation, but obviously a confrontation. There's a choice. There's a choice of who am I going to become to have peace? There's three different ways, okay? Caesar Augustus, he kind of offers this idea of you should become like the powerful people who can save you. Like if they've got money, get money. If they've got position, get position like them. If they've got status, get status. If they're in the government, get this position. The whole idea of Caesar Augustus is, hey, I've got peace. It's called prosperity. And all you got to do to have peace is get more stuff and get more power. It's this whole idea that if you want peace, you need to work to prosper in this world. So when we come into a Christmas season where we start to feel depressed, when we start recognizing the things that are wrong with our life, and it feels like more's wrong in our life than the other person around us, this king says, hey, I've got an answer for you. Just work harder. Just work harder. You go find that and you fix it. Because that's Caesar Augustus. If you've got a problem, attack it. Go attack it. You can do it. That's what this King Arthur says. Become like the powerful people who you see on Facebook and say, I wish I had their life. That's what you need to do. That's how you'll find peace. But then there's this King Herod, right? And King Herod's saying, no, you should become your own savior. Don't try to become like anybody else. You just do it. And you know what peace equals? Peace equals control. If you get peace, if you got control, you'll be at peace because you get to control it all. And it doesn't matter if you got some secrets or some things that aren't right or you're not doing it. Just control it all. That's what you got to do. Just be your own savior. You're the only one who can make it work. Nobody else is a survivor like you, understands you, figures out what you know. You know, and it's this whole idea of become your own savior and get control. So with Caesar Augustus, we want to work harder. But here's the ironic thing about King Herod. You got to worry more. Keep worrying. Well, wait, what do they know? What do they think about you? Okay, what'd you do there? What are they doing? What do they think? What does that mean? So it's all about worry. So literally the bumper sticker for King Herod's car, cart, whatever he's got, is worry more to get peace. Now, we're like, that doesn't even make any sense. I'm telling you what, a lot of us do this. Let's worry more to get peace. That's this offer. And if I'm going to attack my problem here, you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to avoid my problem here. I'm going to manipulate some things and keep some secrets over here and keep this person over here and let this person over here. I'm just going to keep controlling everything because that I'll avoid the problem and I'll have peace. Does it ever work? No. And then there's this other person who comes. And he says, don't work harder. Don't worry more. Just worship. Don't try to become like those who can save you. Don't try to become your own savior. Just worship the one who's greater. Worship the one who can save it all. Don't go after a savior of this world, because if you win in this world, what's your reward in this world? More of the world. Oh, I'm drowning. Please give me more water. Okay, that's what I need. Here, it's, you know what? You just do it yourself. The answer's in you. It's like, no, that's, you and I aren't smart enough, strong enough, haven't been around that long. This ain't going to work. Maybe there's one who's not of this world. That's the answer for a person in the world. What discourages me, I'll attack it, I'll work harder, I'll gain. What discourages me, I'll manipulate, I'll control, I'll keep some secrets, I'll avoid. What discourages me, I'm going to go to one who's so much greater than it. I don't know what he's going to fix and not fix, but I'm not going to attack or avoid. I'm going to adore him. I'm going to adore him. That's who I need in my life. I need someone who's not of this world, who's so much greater. And so what's really interesting is Christmas is this confrontation, and it's this revelation. It's this choice. And then there's this idea of, oh, that's how it works. Like, that's a revelation to me. Like, I didn't get that it works that way. Because you see, Caesar's like, yeah, just keep working harder. And Herod's like, just worry more and make it work. And Jesus is like, just come to me. There's a reason why he comes as a little baby and not like some warrior, because that's what the Jews thought. He was just going to come from heaven, you know, like the Rock. Like, come, like Dwayne Johnson, ready at it, right? Like, that's what he thought. There's coming, like, nope. He's coming like a little pebble, just a little dude. He's not forcing you to do anything. He's inviting you to know him. Because interesting enough, the first two think peace comes from the outside. The real king of the universe says, come and choose with your heart me. Choose me with your heart, and then you'll have peace. It's in here. So this is really practical because, again, and I want you to hear this, for you online, for you here, there's some of us in this room that this is going to be a hard season. And my question is, who's king? who's king in your life? Because it's going to make a big difference how you're going to get through this time. And then I want you to hear this. Hey, everybody, there's someone you know that this is going to be a hard season for. What king are you going to offer them? Because there's one who can give peace without end. Caesar Augustus says, work more. King Jesus says, stop working to fix your problems and just decide to fix your daily worship on me. Now look, every one of us in this room, we agree with this and we agree with it this way. Man, that is so right. I can't wait to get devotions. I'm just a little busy. Like once this happens, then I'm totally going to do this. Okay, now you're in Caesar Augustus mode with this. Now, this is just like now. Before anything's fixed, fix your focus. Before you get to that, before that resolves, choose him. Mary and Joseph, right? These shepherds like, okay, there's a baby here. This isn't changing my day job. This actually is going to cost me money. Like I'm not getting anything. Like I'm giving myself. This king is inviting me to give myself. And with King Herod, and here's what I want you to hear today. This is important for us because you and I, after a while, we get comfortable keeping secrets. And secrets are not healthy, right? Stop controlling people and your secrets and confess and surrender them to Jesus. If I could just say this as your pastor and your friend, be careful about King Heroding the secrets in your life, because I'm telling you what, that does not go well. You think you're building something, it's all going to level. It's all going to come down. And I tell you, there's a lot of time, I come to church, praise Jesus, did I deal with what's really going on in my life? No. I'm not telling anybody about that. Oh, I think that's why you're here. Like, don't choose King Herod. That does not go well. If that's secret, be careful who you're becoming on the inside, right? So I want to encourage you today. King Jesus says, yep, all of you come to me how you are. I mean, shepherds were unclean. They weren't even allowed in the town. How'd they get in? Like, they're just like the king saying, I don't care. Come on, just how you are. And I want to encourage you that this is important. This is important. This is the greatest gift you could give yourself and all the people who love you right here. I mean, at the end of this service, we'll all bow our head, close our eyes, and you're going to want to accept Jesus, and you're still going to be worried about putting up your hand. Why? Because you can't control that somebody sees that or what they think. Like, that's what that spirit is. And you can't do that. You got to say, no, Jesus, whoever you are, whatever it looks like, I want to know you. I want you to see a prayer you can pray at the end of this service. Here it is. Dear Jesus, today I confess my sin and my secrets to you. I will not control what I am afraid of, but I'll confess them to you and ask you to lead me in living a right life. I welcome you into my life today, and I ask for your forgiveness, your healing, and deliverance. Thank you for being born in my heart today. Welcome to Christmas. I want to worship you because you're the King. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to come, and we're going to take a moment to do this right here. Stop focusing on your fears and focus on who you adore every day. I don't know during this winter season if you're going to go skiing one of these days, and I only did a few times, but one thing I learned, where I don't want to go is not what I should look at. If I look at that tree because I'm worried about hitting that tree, it's exactly where I'm going. I'm going to that tree. Here's Jesus who says, you know what the answer is to what's weighing your heart? Don't focus and work on it. Don't focus and control it. How about forget about it and find me? Oh, but that has to be fixed. But that's hurting people. Yeah, it does. And the first step is to not be the one controlling it, but to give it to God and then let him lead you in what to do with it. Caesar Augustus, very much about tomorrow. Great empire, more, expansion, more, prosperity, peace is prosperity. King Herod's all about protecting what I had. I'm the king. No one's going to take it from me. The past, the past, the past. And Jesus is just sitting here saying, here I am right now. Here I am right now. You can come and know peace if you want to know me. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. And as we do that, I want to invite you to, it's a joy you came with people you love and care about, but for a few minutes, let's not worry about them. Let's just worry about the one we came to worship. And my prayer is as we begin to sing this and worship, you're going to feel the grip of these other ideas just loosen. And you're going to begin to breathe again. Because he's the one who brings life and peace that never ends. Let's worship.